This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Joy 94.9 with SJ and Chris, and we've got the incredible Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who plays Mitchell Pritchett from Modern Family. Welcome to Australia.
Thank you. It's lovely here. It's a rainy, rainy day in Melbourne, and I can't wait to go out into it after this interview.
Yeah, apologies about the weather. It's a bit bad. But you've already, this is your first time in Australia, and you've just done Sydney, and there's a bit of a competition between Sydney and Melbourne. So honestly, which one do you prefer so far?
Well, listen, I mean, Sydney, I left Sydney. It was the most beautiful weather, and it's terrible outside right now. I've seen very little of Melbourne. So Sydney definitely has the upper hand, but that doesn't mean that I've already driven past a few stores. I've seen a lot of it through the window of the car, and they have some beautiful shopping here. So can't wait to check that out.
Now, we are Joy 94.9. We are Melbourne's gay and lesbian community radio station. And in fact, we are Australia's only full-time gay and lesbian radio station. Okay. And so our audience, I think so many people, in fact, in our community around the world resonate and really relate to your character and a lot of the other characters in Modern Family. What did you think when you first saw the scripts and the style of show for Modern Family?
Well, I love the script just because it was a really wonderful pilot, and it was so well written and it's so funny. And I just really loved, I had just come off of a show where I played another gay character, and it was not terribly well written. It was very stereotypical, and he was sort of the subject of a lot of jokes. And with this, they were an equal part of a family. They weren't sectioned off as the gay couple. And you know, you meet this couple in the middle of obviously a very long relationship, and they're bringing home a child and starting a family together, and you kind of jump into the deep end with this couple, and they're learning how to become parents for the first time. And that's kind of where the comedy came from. It was them like figuring out what to do with this baby, and the gay thing was, you know, fifth or sixth on the list. So I just thought that was a really beautiful and clever way of doing it. And you know, the show's created by two straight guys, Chris Lloyd and Steve Levitan, who have a lot of gay friends. And I just thought they really handled it with a lot of integrity and humor and heart. And I just thought from the very beginning, it was a very multi-layered character.
Did you feel after the filming of the pilot that you were onto something amazing? Did you have any concept at that point that it was going to turn into the massive show that it has?
Well, as an actor, you can love things so much and then see them disappear because they don't have the support of the network or the audiences aren't there. And so you really, you know, I was afraid that it wouldn't succeed just because I loved it so much. But I did know that it was really, really good. And I did feel really strongly about the work that everyone was doing. And I thought the casting was really spot on across the board. So it's hard when you're in the bubble of it to see the scope of what it is going to be. So I tried not to get my hopes up too high about it. It wasn't really until the second or even third season and when we were continuing to do well, and then also being honored by, you know, Emmy Awards and what have you, that I kind of let it sink in that the show was popular and doing well.
Do you have much say over the script writing? Like, can you go up to them and go, I've got an amazing idea, maybe we should take the story that way? Is there much collaboration?
Well, the writers are constantly wanting to pull from real life. You know, the writers come into the writing room and tell stories of stuff that happened in their families, and they put that into the scripts, and they certainly are amazing eavesdroppers, and they'll overhear us talking about something that happened in our lives and put those things into the script. So, but we don't really go in and pitch ideas unless it's something that that's amazing and it's gonna, you know, they just got to hear the story, and whether or not they put it in is you know, up to them. But yeah, we share stories just like any family would, and some things make in the script and some things don't.
Now, it's also obviously it is a comedy and a sitcom, but you do broach some very serious issues in it. In this season, you're approaching gay marriage and equal rights, and one of the latest episodes was you go back to where Cam's from, the farm, and you meet his very racist, very homophobic grandmother. Right. How are people reacting to the balance between the show, because you're trying to be funny but you're also having some meaningful bits? Do you think it's changing people's perspective a bit?
Ty Burrell always calls our show the Trojan horse, because we sort of sneak into people's living rooms and under the guise of a comedy, and it's very lighthearted, and people are laughing and recognizing and relating to these characters, and then they realize that they might be a little changed as well. So it's like we sneak in a very clever way. I think, you know, comedy is a great way to broach a lot of serious topics, because I think if you approach anything with a sense of humor and levity and heart, you're going to get a lot farther, and people are more open-minded, and I think more available to conversation if it comes from a really lighthearted and you know, good-natured place. It's interesting. I love the story of Cam's grandmother not knowing about him being gay, because that's, you know, my grandmother passed away without knowing that I was gay, and my dad really did not want to tell her. He's like, why risk, you know, her, you know, she was very religious, and I don't think she would have accepted me, and like, why risk, you know, the last years of her life on this earth, like, why risk her being mad at you, or, you know, not relating to you? Let's just, and I agreed. I was like, there's no need, you know, and so I really related to that story, and it was tricky waters to navigate, but I think the writers do a really great job of broaching those serious subjects with a lot of levity, and they're so smart. You know, you can get away with so much if you just have really smart writing.
Now, you also, you and your own partner, Justin, mm-hmm. are running a not-for-profit organization called Tie the Knot.
Right.
Which I love. It says your ethos is that you're fighting for gay and lesbian rights around the world, but making sure we look damn good at the same time. What is Tie the Knot actually about?
So Tie the Knot is a bow tie line that we created, and we've actually expanded recently into cufflinks and long wool ties, and we've teamed up with the Tie Bar, which is a manufacturer in the United States. But you can buy all of our products on tietheknot.org or thetiebar.com/JTF. But all the proceeds from these, the bow ties and the long ties and the cufflinks, go toward marriage equality. And we've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars and have donated money to the Human Rights Campaign and Respect for Marriage Coalition. We've traveled to Illinois and New Mexico, states in the U.S. that were fighting for marriage equality, and sort of brought attention to their marriage equality bills. And so it's been a real labor of love, and you know, there's still so much work to do, especially in the United States. We have 15 states in support of marriage equality and 35 to go. You know, we were able to travel to New Zealand when they started marriage equality there, and were witness to one of the first gay weddings. We met a really lovely lesbian couple and who got married on Air New Zealand, and that we were so honored to be asked to be a part of that. And it was Tie the Knot that sort of brought us there. So it's a really fun organization, and it's meant to be lighthearted and easy. You know, they're just bow ties. That's all it is. And it's just that the proceeds happen to go to a really good place.
When did you first come up with the concept for it? Was it once you'd made it in Modern Family and gone, okay, I can now use my celebrity to make a difference?
I always wanted to use, I've always been very supportive of civil rights, and I've worked with the ACLU and NYCLU, and when I was doing Broadway in New York, I was very active in the Broadway Cares Equity Fights for AIDS. So I was always very philanthropic, but I wanted to do something that was very specific to me. And I thought, you know, when Modern Family hit, that was a great platform to sort of jump off from. And we also wanted to get involved in the fashion world in some way. So we sort of combined those two efforts, and Justin came up with the brilliant idea of calling our bow tie line Tie the Knot and having it be for marriage equality. So he's the smarter of the two of us.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.